Dear Shooter, procrastination will bite you in the butt. If you went into a class, you should sign up now. You need parts for your gun? Don't wait until you need the gun. And don't wait to buy your ammo until the day before you need it.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe, and you are not sacred, and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
And we procrastinated all week to get to Thursday, and I'm sorry my voice is completely trashed, but I am here with my wonderful co-hosts. I'm with Brandy. I'm with Jason.
Hello, hello.
And we're talking about procrastination. And everybody that waits until the last minute to do things, and then they end up missing out.
So this is one of those topics that's dear to me. Because I am not a procrastinator. I'm a planner. I've always kind of been that weird kid that way. Because everybody else around me waits till the last minute. It frustrates the shit out of me.
See, I don't know that I'm a procrastinator. I'm one of those people that I get a wild idea, and then it's like immediately down that road.
But so that's used at the last minute.
It is at the last minute, but I didn't know it was at the last minute because I didn't plan it. It just happened.
Because I didn't plan it. That's funny.
I woke up one morning and went, hey, I'm going to do this.
But if you look out across doing what we do, mm-hmm. right? Thank God I'm a planner. I'm knee-deep in about four or five different custom build projects going on right now. And if I had waited till the last minute and didn't have some of this stuff scripted out, I'm not sure I'd be able to deliver the guns on time because there's a supply chain delay going on right now. Well, I can't even account for it. I don't know why.
Your supply chain thing's been going on since 2020.
Still, though.
I mean...
And we're not talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of pieces and parts. I'm talking about five-barreled actions.
Right, right.
Simple stuff.
Well, and I'm in the middle of rescheduling a class because nobody had signed up for this. I was going to do a long range in San Diego. And nobody signed up, and I mean, we're 2 weeks out.
Is it because they looked at the class and went, no shit, long range in San Diego?
I don't know. It may have been. But, like, the minute I finally took this thing off the website, because I talked to the host, and we decided we'll just reschedule, within probably 16 hours, I had four messages going, hey, what happened to this? I was going to sign up. And I'm like,
okay, so it's not an auction, boys.
No.
You can't wait till the last minute.
No, and these people all knew about it. It's been up since January. He's talked to them all. They all knew it was going to be there. He has to drive halfway across the United States to teach his class. We're going to take it down a couple weeks early if no one's in it.
Well, if no one's in it, there's no reason to get in the truck and go.
Right, exactly.
And so what are they saying when they write you an email saying, what happened to my class?
Well, did something happen to this? Did this get canceled? Because it's not on the website. I'm like, yes, it's being rescheduled because nobody signed up.
So they're telling you they would log in and look at the class.
Yep.
And they'd watch it and they'd read it. And
yep.
Pet it if
they
could.
Obsess about it.
Yeah, but they didn't sign up.
Right.
Huh. Weird.
I know.
What do you account that to?
I don't know.
Because you have
I still have time.
That's it, though. The mindset. What do you account that to? Because
I think what it is, and because I get this a lot of, well, I don't know if I'm going to be busy that weekend. Yeah, you're going to be busy that weekend training. It's like, make your plan. It goes back to being a plan.
They
you know?
Don't plan. They think that, you know, if I hold off long enough, I might find something more fun to do than that, and I just don't want to get, you know, kicked out of my friend's fishing trip.
I think you're absolutely right.
Now, word of advice, guys. If you want to go do something, schedule it and go do it.
Right.
Don't hang around and drag your feet waiting on a better offer. If you want to do it, go do it.
Right.
That is what you're doing that weekend. Mm-hmm. Not, hey, is Emilio having that barbecue?
Right.
Don't do that.
I mean, it goes for everything. How many times, as an optic company, do we get people who send warranties in and say, hey, hunting season starts the day after tomorrow. I need it back.
And part of that's my fault. We have an exceptional customer service team, and I have allowed people to send their stuff back for we could just check it out for them, make sure nothing's wrong. And there's a bunch of nervous Nellies out there. instead of going to the range and proofing it themselves, they'll send it to us to check. And 2 days before they need it, hey, I've got a hunt coming up like Saturday. Can I get this to you and have you check it out?
I won't get it back by Saturday.
So you know what you and I need to sit down and do? We need to go out to the range one day, and we need to do a video showing people how to calibrate their optic.
Okay, I'm game.
Because I think if people knew how to do that and understood what they were looking for and what they were looking at, you'd see a lot less of that. Because this is something they could go when they do their annual, I'm going to go sight my rifle in before hunting season.
I think I would see less. I think you're right. But would I see a lot less? Probably not. People don't read.
No, they don't read. That's why I'm saying we have to do a video, because people will sit there and watch a video.
To an extent, though. I mean, it's a gender handicap. If they think they know, then nobody can tell them anything.
Right.
Even YouTube.
But that's one of the biggest things when, because I always do this in my long range classes. I show people how to actually calibrate their optic and understand what they're looking at. And I get blank stares when I first bring it up, because they're like, I had no idea.
How's that even possible?
What do you mean?
All of these folks have been shooting and hunting since for 40 years with Grandpa. I mean, how do they not know how to do this?
Because nobody has ever talked about it. You don't. I've looked around. I've seen a couple obscure articles about it.
Really?
But nobody really talks about it as when you get an optic and you put it on your rifle, here's how you make sure that the optic works correctly. Because if these things don't happen, you probably need to have a conversation with the manufacturer and get it sent back and fixed.
Otherwise, it's going to be a really frustrating event.
Right. Because if your dials aren't calibrated just right or whatever, something's off there, you're going to have a real frustrating time when you start to dial your dough.
Well, in the planning mindset, I'm going to have to back all the way up and explain what things are and why they're there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
so Optics 101 is coming.
Yeah.
It's a series. It's not just a single video.
It is a series, and there's another series that's going to be coming, too, because I have decided that I cannot do my preparedness course as a course. It's going to have to be a video series. There's just no other way to do it.
Well, and even if you taught it as a course, you would have to have several levels and layers built into it, and you're not going to cover that in a week's time.
No, and there's probably going to be half a dozen instructors involved, and it's just it's going to be very in depth.
That means no procrastinating.
No, there's no procrastinating.
Definitely means no procrastinating.
I do have to get over this upper respiratory thing, though.
Yeah, get rid of that shit. I don't want it.
No.
So, Brandy, on the back end of this discussion, so this is something we don't procrastinate. This is me planning. You and I need to sit and organize some time to develop a shot list prior to actually going out with a camera. Good idea.
We always do the shot list like 6 months in advance and then never do it. So that's the other part of procrastinating. If you're a big, heavy planner, you get it all planned out and then never go.
It's because my team drags their feet and then they got other things to do.
Your team?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be me.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the guy that I'm going out to the range, and I'll meet you there in an hour. And 3 hours later, I give up. Because somebody got tied up on the phone.
Yeah.
Or somebody came in the office.
This all happened.
That's more communication than it is procrastination. Well, and he planned.
Yeah, but there's no communication once you get out to that range.
That did happen. I did that to you. And the only thing I have to say in my defense was I had 9 million things happen from the time when I hung up the phone with you and when I was supposed to be at the range that captivated me at the office.
Oh, I figured. Which was fine. I did some film work and did some other stuff.
Well, you made use of the time.
I did fine.
Now, what have you done with that film work that you did?
I'm editing because I'm trying to plug in some slides and some other stuff to...
So in finger quotes, editing.
Yeah.
Which means you haven't touched it yet.
Oh, no. No, it's in my editor.
It's in the editor.
It's
not procrastination if it's partially started.
We're headed down that same rabbit hole. Here we go.
No, it's not procrastination. I've actually been working on it, but
no,
I'm also...
No, it's been uploaded to the program.
No, I'm learning. There's a learning curve here because I haven't done much video. I've done a lot of audio. I'm good with that, but video's a different animal.
And this is over a week ago.
It was not over a week ago. Crap, it was a week ago.
Life gets in the way, right? So there's a fine line between procrastination and sidetracked.
Now, right.
I get sidetracked like nobody's business. I admit that, and anybody that knows me has witnessed it and seen it happen. It's not always pretty.
And I can't even say you squirrel. You literally do get sidetracked.
Sidetracked, yep. I had all the best intentions, and I laid the groundwork, and I planned. I just to get it done because I got sidetracked.
No, somebody switched the tracks on you somewhere.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot.
Well, I think it happens to all of us. And so I'm going to throw this out there because I had a student over a week or so ago come in with a carbine class with a really nice custom-built 300 blackout. And I ended up having to completely overhaul this thing.
And he brought you the gun the day of the class, the day before the class?
The day of the class. He walks in with it. And
he knew better.
Well, I don't think he did.
No, he never shot it. You should probably shoot your firearm before you go to class.
He's a planner. He knew better. He knew when the class was months in advance.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. I mean, he trusted the guy that built it. And we know who it is. And... not knowing anything else, I would have trusted him to build it too. But there were some minor details. To get this thing to function correctly, I ended up completely changing the buffer tube because it's a shorty buffer tube on this thing, and it wasn't allowing the bolt to cycle fully, so he was short-stroking every round, which then caused the rounds as they entered the chamber they were going in at such an extreme angle that... bumping the brass. It was creating a like
you were caving the neck.
It was crinkling it like almost
like it got caught on a lip and wrinkled it like
yeah. And then we'd have a stuck case. Although I'll tell you what, he's really good at clearing a stuck case now.
Malfunction training is important. And you have a gun built like that one, you have a lot of malfunctions.
Yeah, but I think we finally got it tuned up.
So again, people, if you have a gun that you haven't really shot and you plan on taking a class with it, take it out to the range.
Yeah, but don't do it the night before.
No.
Because if you have to do a mechanical change or swap, you don't have time.
But to be fair, how long has he had this firearm? It has been winter, and we don't have indoor ranges here.
I believe he's had this thing for several years.
Okay, never mind. He should have shot it a few times so he could say,
"Well, I think he had." But that's just it. Like, I don't think he's ever run it the way we run guns in a class like that.
Valid. Very valid.
And that's the thing. I always tell students, you know, bring your gear, you know, whatever it is, we'll ring it out.
Well, and every year I have a similar situation in classes. I'll get a guy that calls me the night before the class is supposed to actually happen and says, "Hey, man, do you have some ammo?" Like I'm a crack dealer. And he's supposed to bring 100 rounds of his own.
To be fair, you are a crack dealer.
Fair enough. But the night before the class is when he's looking at his ammo situation and realizing he can't find it.
Yep.
And when he realizes that, he's like, I don't know if I can take the class without the ammo. Well, you can't shoot a gun without ammo. It's one of those things. It's a natural law.
Well, you know, you get a lot of dry fire reps.
Right. So he calls me and says, hey, do you got ammo? Because I can't find any.
Sure you do, at a very premium price.
And I do that because there's a convenience fee of using my stuff.
That's right. That's right. Especially or you got to go out and you got to crank out 100 rounds on the reloader the night before.
I've done that too. But their procrastination turns into my problem.
I know. And I always try and say that, you know, your screw up does not constitute an emergency on my part, but inevitably it does.
On the other side of it, there's a customer service aspect.
There
right?
is.
They're check cashed. They have a seat at the class in the morning.
That's right.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that that seat is valid and used.
Absolutely.
Right? So I will bend over backwards for my students at times. There are times I'm like, I told you 100 rounds, you brought 25. After lunch, you're going to be bored.
Yep.
Not much I can do.
Yep.
But lessons that are worth learning sometimes have to be learned the hard way.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that stick, usually.
Usually.
Not really. There's still a procrastination problem. And I feel like it's the young adults about that age group. They're the worst.
Amazon.
Yeah, they're okay. Back to the question. What do we attribute this to? Because it's a sociological problem.
Amazon.
I can't say it's, you know, Gene or Tom or anybody specific. It's a sociological deal. And Amazon's a good example. We're becoming an on-demand society where you can get anything you want, for the most part, overnight, delivered to your door.
Right.
I mean, I'm learning that DoorDash is a thing in Riverton, Wyoming.
Right. And I think this all started during COVID.
What? You can get anywhere you want to in town in 7 minutes.
Right.
And they have DoorDash, so you don't have to be bothered by going out.
You pay twice the price.
It's 7 minutes. Uh-huh. That's not even like a convenience fee. That's extortion.
That's like hitting all the stoplights, too. We're not a big town.
Right?
Yeah.
But that kind of mentality, it's not necessarily applicable to everything. And we want to, as a society, make it that way, which is causing this discussion to happen.
Well, let's broaden that, though, too. You have that on-demand society. What happens when there's some sort of societal dislocation? If there, you know, a major weather event, maybe there's a power outage, something major happens where people actually have to fend for themselves and make do.
Well, if it's a short term, it won't be that bad. It's an annoyance. But long term, anything 2 weeks or longer, it can be a real problem.
I'm not even sure 2 weeks. I'm thinking more in the neighborhood of like 7 days.
Fair enough. We saw last year with our winter, we had a heavy snowfall last time. It delayed shipments to grocery stores. There was problems in that regard. So we saw it happen for at least a week.
Mm-hmm. There were places that were running out of fuel.
Yep.
There were gas stations that, you know, certain grades of fuel they were out of, and they couldn't get resupplied because the trucks couldn't get in.
Yeah, valid.
Same thing. You know, you talked about the grocery stores. That was a problem.
Yeah. And we live in Wyoming. We are conditioned when that needle on your gas tank hits halfway, that's time to fill up.
Because right. We're 100 miles from anything.
Correct. So the procrastination mindset is less here because we have to plan. In a major city, gas station is 2 minutes away. It's on every other corner, right?
Right next to the Starbucks.
Right. So you can get your coffee, your overpriced latte, and some gas across the street and be on your way with everything you need for a while.
Right.
Well, sometimes it doesn't work that way.
No, and it certainly doesn't here.
Very rarely here.
I mean, I don't even think we have a Starbucks in Riverton.
We don't.
We do
Closest
not.
Closest one's in Lander.
There you go.
Well, that's only because it's part of a Safeway.
Safeway needs coffee, too.
They do. They do. And I have used that Starbucks in Lander before.
Well, it's a little late for coffee for me, but I am going to get a little whiskey here.
Nice.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for.
So, speaking of procrastination, and I'm sure people in other states need to start thinking about this as well, but we've got our hunting tag deadlines coming up.
Yes, it is. It's about time to spend about $250.
That's all?
Well, that's all the tags I need.
I go after a bison every year.
I did that for like 3 years in a row and decided that I wasn't going to get given that tag, so I quit.
I just think it's funny that they feel the need to cull all of these bison out of Yellowstone, and they're bringing in professional hunters to do it instead of issuing tags.
And they're letting them lie.
Yeah.
They're wasting all of it.
Are they really?
Yep.
The last story I read, the cullers, first of all, they didn't cull as many as they were supposed to. And then when they did, they shot them in the field and let them lie.
Yeah, they're supposed to take something like 3,000, and they got less than 100.
I don't care how many they shoot. You can't just let them lie. That's just irresponsible.
Nope. They figured they were feeding the wolves.
Oh, that's what we need to propagate.
Right.
Oh, Lord. The whole world's upside down.
You're just now seeing this?
Yeah. Well, I'm stubborn, and I have that obsessive need to give man more credit than he earns. They did this several years ago with the mountain goat over there, too, between Idaho and Wyoming there on the pass. They had too many of them. They were on the highway too often, that kind of thing. And they brought in professional hunters rather than actually give those to sportsmen.
Right.
I never understood that one whatsoever.
And I've never really understood that practice either, because not only would it be a major revenue generator for game and fish, even the federal wildlife, but I think the sportsmen would be much more ethical about it.
Well, there's laws in place to where you have to. When, for example, when you take an elk, you have to remove from the field all edible portions.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not, that's a fine.
Right.
And you might lose your hunting privileges.
Right.
Truly, it's a problem. In Alaska, for example, you have to take everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can leave carcass behind, but you're stripping the meat off the ribs. You're taking everything. And if you don't, that's a big fine.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, it's wasteful.
It is wasteful. It's irresponsible.
Right.
I don't know. I have huge problems with just the trophy hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Huge problems with that. Now, I've gone to South Africa, which by all definitions is trophy hunting.
Right.
However, when we're there, we donate the meat to a special needs orphanage.
Right.
And we make sure that it doesn't get wasted. So it's got a bad rap, but that's not what people are doing down there.
No, and I think the problem is it's got a bad rap because of the way it's portrayed. Nobody talks about the donating of the meat because, well, that's not exciting for a hunting show. I think when you guys did your show, you really showcased kind of the back end of it more than the actual hunt.
That was on purpose. I wanted to show the other side of it because there's a million shows out there showing some guy shoot an animal.
Right.
What do you do with that afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Nobody shows that. I mean, there's a couple of them now that are doing that, and I commend them because I think it's what, Meat Eater.
Meat Eater, and I like that show because he does talk about how he cares for the meat as well as takes it all back and
right.
uses it.
Right.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah. So, okay, another bonehead move. Our governor vetoed one of the bills that was actually voted on by our legislature that would have banned gun-free zones in the state of Wyoming.
And if you read the law, it wasn't a ban on gun-free zones, much as it was repealed the Gun-Free Zone Act.
Right.
Those folks who have what they would determine a gun-free zone, government buildings, schools, courthouses, things like that, that could be designated as a gun-free zone, no longer were forced to hang the sign up that said we're a gun-free zone.
Right.
Right? Which would allow legal concealed carry people to not have to disarm themselves before they went in.
And you still had to, the way this worked, because Wyoming is constitutional carry, this still only applied to those who actually held a concealed carry permit.
That's correct.
And, I don't know.
I don't understand. I mean, he vetoed it on the grounds that it would remove local control from the on-site facilities, which that is a line of bullshit.
Right.
He's in the pocket of the education boards.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is our legislators are forming a special session to vote on this again, and he can attempt to veto it again, but if it gets done in a special session outside the budget session...
They override him.
They override the governor on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're headed that direction on it.
Well, I know right now we have the most pro-gun legislators that we've ever had, and... If you look at a lot of the things that the state of Wyoming is doing, it shows.
Well, I'm going to tie it back to procrastination. Call your senators and your legislators and don't procrastinate. Get on the phone now and tell them what you think. Because if you drag your feet, the go along to get along will be okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of the reason that we're in a lot of the troubles that we're in. People just, we're in a world, too, and I had this discussion that people, especially in a crowd, okay, so let's say major car accident, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's injured, and it draws a crowd. Nobody helps because they all assume somebody else is going to do it.
They don't even dial 911. They just all stare at it.
Right.
Is it because they're afraid to get involved for responsibility's sake? Or they don't know what to do.
No, this is actually, they've done a psychological study on this, and everybody there assumes somebody else is going to help, so they step back.
All right, so here's a pro tip. You see something happening, get involved.
Right.
Even if there's somebody else there to help, another set of hands is usually welcome.
Oh, yeah. And you know, anybody can help, even if it's just... calling 911, getting somebody on the way.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Get involved. Mm-hmm. You're part of it if you're standing there watching it.
Right. Right. You are the first responder because you're there.
Correct.
And that's something that we talk about a lot in training is you are the first responder. And that kind of catches people off guard too. And it's like, look, you're the one that's there.
You don't need a badge or a fancy uniform to be the first one to help.
No.
You just don't.
No, just like, and people are really good about obeying signs. This was something I had a discussion with another trainer. We were talking about the flash mob thing that's been happening, especially in like San Francisco, L.A., where they're going and knocking off jewelry stores as a flash mob. Mm. And people will stand there at a back exit and not go through it because it says, you know, do not enter, alarm will sound or whatever. And they won't take that exit and they'll end up getting caught in this mob and getting hurt or killed because they can't get past that psychological, don't do this.
Darwin has an award for that.
Hmm?
If you fail to go through a door just because there's a sign that says authorized personnel only.
Right.
And going through that door gets you out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in that situation, you earn what you get.
I give you permission right now to go through that door.
That's right. Because absolutely right.
That's what those are for. They're emergency exits.
That's correct. Well, who cares if the alarm sounds at that point?
Right.
But the door will still open. It's fire code, y'all. Right.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, if it's locked, you got a big problem.
Yeah.
But again, dragging your feet, that procrastination thing, mm-hmm. you get locked up, failure to launch, or whatever you call it.
Right.
clue back in. And if you see a situation you need to be engaged in, be engaged.
Right.
That's signing up for a class or being prepared enough to actually go to a class. That's on you. Back to personal responsibility.
Well, and I'll say this. When it comes to going to a class, I don't really care how prepared you are. Unless you're doing something like crazy advanced, like, you know, rappelling out of helicopters and things. If you're going to just a, you know, a pistol class, right? Take what you've got. You know, instructors, give them a heads up. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till the night before to go, oh, hey, I don't have this or this or this. Get with your instructor and say, hey, I want this training. I need this training. I know I do, but I don't have, you know, what holster or whatever. I don't have it. I'll pretty much guarantee you that instructor has a box of holsters. He'll find something that will work for you.
He's got some way to make that happen for you. That's not going to be the prohibitor for you not going to the class.
Right.
And if you're trying to show up for or rappelling out a helicopter's class, make sure you bring your helicopter because I can't help you with that one.
Mm-hmm. But I tell people all the time, especially like the long range class, you got a rifle and you got ammo. As long as you got eyes and ears, we can make things work. I would almost rather them come with less stuff than more, because then they get a chance to see what everybody else has, see the stuff that we use, and then they get to go out and they get to buy right the first time.
A heads up is always nice, because where you travel to train, it's not like you can just run back by the house to pick something up.
Right.
Exactly right.
Right.
That is why you drag that trailer, though.
It is.
It is loaded for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer doesn't go, like, the trailer wouldn't have gone to the San Diego class.
Oh, yeah.
No, because where the range was, I'm not sure the trailer would have made it.
Well, don't you have to do some sort of checkpoint to get into Colorado or California?
Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah.
Because your trailer might get flagged.
Oh, I guarantee it would. And I'm sure there's probably something hiding in a corner in there that I shouldn't have in California.
Like everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Can you have tourniquets in California?
I don't know. I think if you're carrying a med kit, then they assume you're up to no good.
I'm sorry, that's so stupid.
California is stupid. I mean, just...
I've got friends that live out there, and I feel for them, but you can't help it sometimes.
Well, it's just like the amount of electric vehicles I saw out there.
Didn't you say you saw an electric Mustang?
I did. Parked next to me.
Stop it.
I moved my truck because I was afraid the thing was going to set on fire.
And they do that.
Yeah.
Not the Mustang specifically, but electric cars. Way more than gas cars.
And it's no joke when they go.
Well, lithium fire is no joke.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so as soon as I realized that was parked next to me, I moved.
Yeah, that's spooky. So what else you got?
Well, all right, so something that you shouldn't be putting off, talking about procrastination. You know, I'm getting a lot of students coming through, and this is part of why I'm going to start doing the preparedness videos and do all that, because I get a lot of them that are like, hey, the world's getting a little sketchy. I want to start preparing, but I'm so overwhelmed. And it is overwhelming. But let me give you a tip that will make this far less overwhelming, right? The first thing I do when I talk to people is ask, what are you preparing for? And I get all the answers, right? But it's always specific. It's events. It's trigger events.
Too big.
Right. What are you preparing for?
Needs.
Well, needs, yes, but it's basically I want to keep my family safe, fed, housed, mm-hmm. clothed, mm-hmm. okay? The basic essentials, right?
Needs.
Right. And if you boil it down to that, it doesn't matter what the trigger event is. Your mission is still the same.
Correct.
Which,
needs.
Which makes this far less overwhelming.
Well, let's not make it any complication that it has to be. Needs. You need air, food, water. Then expand outside that.
Oh, yeah. Medicine, right? Shelter.
And medicine is a need, yes, if you require it to live. if you require it for trauma, you can go find that.
Right.
But, I mean, needs. Handle those first.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it boils down to where do you tip the scale into wants.
Right.
But, yeah, your basic bug-out bag, mine's built for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And figure in 3 days, I'm already looking for my next set. But it needs. I carry it on my back.
Right. Well, and that's the way I've broken the whole thing up, is by threes, right? 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, mm-hmm. 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because each builds on the next.
Absolutely does. And you got to have places to secure, because you're not carrying all that on your back.
Oh, no. No, no.
But you got to have places where it's defensible and it's yours.
Right.
Because if you can't keep it, it's not yours.
And that's why security is number one. Because none of this does you any good if you can't keep it.
I look forward to the series, at least collaborating on it, because it'll be fun.
It will be. It will be. And I think now our weather's starting to get better, so we can get outside and we can start filming and get this thing rolling.
It's supposed to snow this weekend.
You just shut your mouth.
We need to go to Lysite and film some of this, because it'll be an old, rundown, burnout town.
Mm, yes.
Should be fun.
I wonder if they'd let us raid the gas station.
Or
at least film inside of it.
From a sheer filming standpoint, we could probably get that done. We'll talk to the McCoys. It'll be fine. Mike's got a key.
So, anything else that we're procrastinating on?
Give me a second. Let me drag my feet. I don't know. It's a big topic, and it's a mindset more than anything else. You're not going to get it on demand every time. We're not Amazon. There's a lot of things in the world that don't work that way.
Well, and look at shipping routes. Shipping routes, and I've seen this in flights, too. They make, like, the most ridiculous routes. I had a instructor call me up one day, and he was like, hey, I got this class coming up, and I can't get targets. Can anybody get me some targets? And I sent him, I don't know, 40, 50 targets, whatever. And he was doing this class in Mexico City. And I ship the package off, and I'm tracking this thing. And it goes to San Diego, then to Chicago, then back to San Diego to go to Mexico City. And I'm thinking, why in the world would it do that?
Well, I FedEx myself a letter. You know, say I'm filing for a patent, and I have to have the idea date stamped.
Right.
It leaves Riverton, Wyoming, goes to Memphis, Tennessee, and then comes back to Riverton, Wyoming to FedEx myself a letter.
Right.
Our postal service just turned into that, too, because they shut down our annex.
Mm-hmm.
So if we wrote a letter and mailed it to Casper, which is an hour and a half away, it must first route to Billings, Montana, to go through the annex to come back into Casper.
There's got to be some mass economy of scale efficiency that I'm not aware of, but that doesn't make any sense.
No. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It was Nancy Pelosi's husband. So they convinced the Postal Service to sell all of their buildings that they own free and clear and then lease them back from him.
What kind of money laundering scheme is this?
Yeah, exactly. You just nailed it. But, you know, whatever, whatever. But I've had this with flights, too. I had a flight from Casper, Wyoming to Phoenix, which should have been real easy. Casper to Denver, Denver to Phoenix.
Okay.
They sent me through Newark. So I went Casper to Denver, Denver to Newark, Newark to Phoenix.
Was this one of those like cheap flights?
No.
Because I've seen that.
This was a $1,000 flight.
You get a $99 flight and you have like 9 stops.
Yeah, no.
I've seen that before.
No. This wasn't that.
Don't you want to see the world?
The other one, and then my return flight was Phoenix to LAX to Denver to Casper. Except when I got to LAX, they rammed the food cart into the side of the plane. Hmm. So I was stranded there for like 12 hours.
Did you ever get where you were going?
Yeah, I did the next day.
Because I have bailed on itineraries before because I wasn't going to get there.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a choice. I was midway laid and I was stuck.
Yikes. Interesting.
And I think part of that, too, comes to, it was a last-minute booking, too.
Procrastination.
That might have been, yeah. To be fair, it wasn't my procrastination because I didn't book the flight.
Well, even if somebody's doing it for me, I ride them like a rented mule to make sure it gets done because I've seen the last-minute plans, and they suck.
They usually do.
Yeah, the negative 22-minute layover.
Oh, come on now.
Plane leaves before you taxi? Yeah. It's bad.
I still think my best one, I was coming home from Milwaukee, and I got to Denver, and I was freaking out because we were delayed coming out of Milwaukee. I get to Denver, and I asked the stewardess, I'm like, hey, you know, my flight, I'm already late. You know, can you help me here? And she's like, oh, yeah, no problem. We're going to let you get off the plane first, and then, you know, you should have enough time. So plane touches down. We taxi up to the stairway, and I get out, and I go running out into the hall, and I turn around. I find my flight. Same gate, same plane, same seat.
So you got off the plane to get back on the same plane?
Yeah.
And then he hurried, too.
And then come to find out that the plane was delayed. They told everybody else in the terminal that it was delayed because of mechanical issues. And I'm like, I was just on that. Seemed fine.
That's not good news. I thought it was delayed because some asshole had to get off.
Whatever. I got home.
Look, I look at travel like this. You have a contract with them to get you where you're going. I get delays, whatever, shit happens. They will eventually get you there.
I don't know. I had flights where my luggage was having more fun than I was.
Well, you can't fly without your luggage, but your luggage can fly without you.
Right.
Yeah.
How's that work?
It doesn't.
I guess we'll find out when we go back to South Africa.
Oh, God. Shoo, hush your mouth. That's bad. I've been planning this trip for a year.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I can. I'm pretty sure I can get everything I need on carry-on.
I'm going to.
Well, crap. No, we can't because we're flying with ammo.
Yeah, that has to be checked.
God damn it.
But if that doesn't get there when we do, like, I think it'll be okay.
Except for Johannesburg is 2 hours away from the venue.
That's not. That's the airline. They have to bring it to you.
This is Joburg. You don't understand.
Crap.
It's different.
You're right.
No, which means you either make a trip back to the airport when your luggage is supposed to arrive, or it will be there for you.
At least we don't have a layover in Germany this year, because last time we went, layover in Germany, I had no idea that your luggage came off the plane and you had to go back through.
And get it.
And pay again to put it back in.
Well, yeah.
And then go back through customs and...
Yeah, it was a thing.
At least they have Jack and Coke in a can.
Not anymore. Brandy drank it all.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, bitches.
Well, yeah, it was, well, what, 10 o'clock your time?
She was hoping to get drunk enough to take a nap.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't work out at all. Turns out she can't nap when she has anxiety.
Well, we can alleviate anxiety, plan ahead.
Yes.
Sign up for that class. Get your ammo. Get your tags. Make sure your equipment works at least a week out. I mean, what else?
It's on you, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you can't wait. Especially... With traveling instructors, if you see a class pop up with somebody that you want to train with and you know they're traveling, you can't wait, because that class will, one of two things, it's going to fill up and there won't be a spot for you, or everybody's procrastinating and it's going to get canceled.
If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, you're stupid.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No.
So just do it yourself.
Do it. Be the leader. I guess at the end of the day, if you're not going to be the leader, well, I guess you can't blame your gun on this one.